Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We have been examining the judgment which God pronounced upon the nation of Edom through his prophet Obadiah. Obadiah, as you know, is the shortest book in the Old Testament. One chapter, 21 verses. It is God's pronouncement of judgment upon the nation of Edom. Edom, which was a nation founded by Esau, was a great rival to Israel, a nation founded by Jacob. And the citizens of Edom were as much the children of Abraham as were the children of Israel. But they were children of Abraham through Esau, and Esau was not the inheritor of the Abrahamic promise. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, not Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. And so they were descendants of Abraham. They had Abraham as their father, but they did not have the spiritual blessings, they did not have the covenant, they did not have the promises which God made to the children of Abraham through a certain line. Abraham through the line of Isaac, and Isaac through the line of Jacob, and then from Jacob on to his 12 sons and so forth. But Edom was a very close relative to Israel, a rival to Israel in many ways. And at one point, God said, "Your offenses have become so great that I'm going to pronounce judgment upon you. I'm pronouncing judgment, first of all, and then I will bring it to pass." And that's what the book of Obadiah is all about. So we are studying it, and we thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, May 5, as we continue our study of the book of Obadiah. And thank you very much for your financial help, which enables us to teach God's Word on this station. The examining of this judgment is basically in verses 2 through 14, and in the first 9 verses, 2 through 9, we have God's judgment proclaimed, and then in verses 10 through 14, we have the reason for that judgment explained, and that's what we're getting ready for today. I'll read the verses that talk about the proclamation of God's judgment in preparation for the examination of the verses to follow. And the verses that I will first read are those that we have already examined in some detail and applied in a number of directions on previous broadcasts. But here's what God said to Edom through the prophet Obadiah. He said, "Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, 'Who will bring me down to the ground?' Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. If thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be cut off, would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out! How his hidden treasure shall be sought after! All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. Will I not, in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountains of Esau? Then your mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Well, that's the proclamation of divine judgment. But now let's look at the reasons why. An exposure of Edom's transgressions. And the fundamental reason is given in verses 10 and 11. Here it is, and it begins with the word for. This is why I'm doing these things, for, verse 10, violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. Here's the fundamental reason. Now, we've already seen that God was greatly offended at their excessive pride, and he directs his judgments against the areas of their national life of which they were most proud in order to humble them. But the reason why the judgment fell at this time was because of their violence against Jacob. Now, there are other prophets that speak of the same thing. Listen to the words of the prophet Amos in chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity. His anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah, thus says the Lord. Violence against Jacob. And I could quote other texts as well, but I'll stop at that point. But what God is charging Edom with here is siding with Israel's enemies. Back to Obadiah, we find that in verse 11. In the day that you stood on the other side, on one side was the nation of Israel, on the other side was the nation of the enemies of Israel. Which side should Edom have been on? Israel is your brother. Esau, the founder of your nation, was a twin brother of Jacob, the founder of Israel. All the citizens of the nation of Israel are your cousins. You are all physical descendants of the same man, Abraham. In that case, when an enemy, a foreign enemy, these Gentile nations of one kind or another, come up against Israel, which side of this battle should you be on? Which side should you take? Well, obviously, they should side with their brother Israel, but that's not what they did. Verse 11, in that day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. And as I read a moment ago in Amos chapter 1, Edom even took up arms and joined the invading armies and became part of that invading army against Israel. And so that is the primary reason why this judgment falls upon them, because of Edom's violence against Israel, against Jacob. But then in verses 12 through 14, you have the specific digression, and by that I mean the steps, little by little, that took Edom further and further away from her alliance with Israel, and step by step into the position of eventually becoming an active enemy of Israel. And in verses 12 through 14, we have eight sentences, and they are eight commands, and each begin in our English translation with the words "and not." And they increase from what we might call passive complicity to active participation. It starts out with Edom failing to take sides with Israel, failing to help her, failing to come to her side, and then step by step by step, turning into an actual active enemy of Israel, actually taking up arms against her brother Israel. In my translation, these eight sentences, these eight commands, all begin with the English words "and not," but I have another translation where all of them begin with the words "do not." Do not do this. And another one that says, "you should not." You should not do the following things. Now let's read about them in verses 12 through 14. "But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity. Nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped, nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress." What do we have here? And we'll look at them one by one, these eight statements. It begins with what we might call passive curiosity. We actually have a name for that when you go by an accident on the highway and everybody's slowing down because they're all trying to see the accident. And what do we call that? We call that rubbernecking. But when people are rubbernecking, they're looking at the accident, but they're not stopping to help. They're just passively curious. They're curious about what is going on, but they're not moved to actually lend a helping hand. Now, we've all been there, we've all done that, and in most cases, the reason we don't stop is because others have already stopped. In fact, in many cases, because emergency vehicles have already arrived or the police has already arrived or both. And to stop in that situation would actually just make the matter worse. It would make it more congested. We don't need to stop if help has already arrived. But this passive curiosity, this rubbernecking, is the first charge which God lays against Edom. You should not, back to verse 12, you should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have just stood by passively and watched with curiosity, and we would suspect even with gleeful curiosity, when you saw Israel being invaded and subjugated and carried captive. And what did you do? You just watched. You didn't come to his help. You may have said, like Cain of old, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The answer of which is yes, you are. But of course, his answer was no, I'm not. And that was Edom's response. And that was displeasing to God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.